CampiL.ca newsroom for this week. Marty Thompson and Charlie O'Connor Clark back with you as we anxiously prepare for the 2021 CPL season. Now, still nothing official, but something from this week that caught both of our eyes, Charlie, is how quickly some of these teams are moving on signing players. York, yeah. We'll get to them. They've completed their 2021 roster. And then Valor's made a big signing. There's been some movement, so that maybe gives us a hint as to what's coming. Again, David Klanikin saying last month that the CPL will be trying to go for a single site start and then hopefully go back into stadiums, hopefully with fans at some point. So with that being said, let's take a look at some of these player signings because they're pretty significant. For Valor, Rafael Gallardo, right.
Gallardo.
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 Sorry, it's early here. Former Brazilian top flight player, Brazilian youth international. Like, give us like a bit of a taste of what he's going to bring to Winnipeg here.
A lot of silverware apparently. he's got a pretty impressive resume. He's played for I think some of the biggest clubs in Brazil. I mean, he's played for Grêmio, he played for Flamengo and Santos. I think maybe the biggest thing that you should probably put at the top of the list here is that this guy was in the Brazilian League's Team of the Year in 2015, which I mean you have to be kind of remarkable to do, and I mean it's not that long ago. I think he's 29, so it's not like he's like just some he's not some over the hill guy coming here to. I don't know, see out his career. He's still a very talented football player. He won the under-20 World Cup in 2011 with Brazil. I think he had some pretty crazy guys on that team, like Casemiro and Philippe Coutinho on his team. And I think he was going up against, I can't even remember who was on the Canadian team at that World Cup. But I think that was like the Kevin Alleman kind of years.
Right. Interesting. I mean, then maybe reconnected at Valor. That'd be interesting.
Actually, yeah, that's a very good point. But anyway, Gallardo, I mean, anybody who's played significant games in the Brazilian top flight is probably going to do pretty well at this level, especially a guy like him who's apparently done really well at that level. I mean, he had a brief stint over at Anderlecht in Belgium. Didn't seem to have worked out, so he went back to Brazil. I don't know how Valor got this guy because he looks really good.
Well, and so he's and something we haven't even mentioned. He's played fullback for his entire career, from what we can tell, for the most part, anyways. But you know, Valor coach Rob Gale yesterday after he signed, he's saying, "Hey, look, you know, we see he could play a 6, an 8, a 10 in midfield." Which is interesting to hear. Maybe the question is like, you know, if you have a quality player like this, regardless of position, which position do you think Valor could use a player like this?
Yeah, it's definitely an interesting one because when I too first saw the signing, I'm like, okay, this guy's been a right back his whole career, and I'm not sure if that's exactly what Valor needed. But according to Rob Gale, this guy he's going to play midfield for them. And that's probably a position that they do need. I mean, especially now that we've heard that obviously Nestor Monge isn't going to make it into the country for this season. This certainly fills that need, you know, that void that was left. And I still am not really sure what exactly to expect from a guy like Gallardo, but he's got the experience and the technical ability probably to play most positions for Valor. So I think really, even though it's late in the process, it's going to be maybe in their best interest to build a lot of the way they play around a player like him.
And it looks like he'll be able to get to Winnipeg sometime in the next 2 weeks. I think the date was June 16th that Valor suggested he'd be able to get to Winnipeg. Okay, so York completed their 2021 roster, so to speak. So formally ruling out four of the international players that they had signed, including William Wallace, a player that we got a lot of traction on in this and on this very podcast. And I'm sad to see him leave just before the Euros. But they're bringing in a couple of domestic players and players that are, you know, frankly able to get into the country as the visa issues persist. Four players: Tariq Muhammad, formerly of FC Edmonton, and then obviously through the Toronto FC setup was sort of the big signing that people would know on loan from Dundalk. But like, what other players here that that really stick out to you?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, yeah, Muhammad's kind of the one that the name that everybody would know the best. Jordan Faria is, I think, another name that's been around, especially Ontario soccer, for a few years now. He was playing in the TFC Academy and Toronto FC 2 for at least a couple of years. And I think he's been at the kind of a bunch of different national team camps for various age levels. So I think he's just a name that would be familiar to anybody that's been paying really close attention to this sort of thing. However many people that might be, but
he's been a name just in the back channels that have been that's been talked about in the CPL. Yeah,
what I'm saying is it's a familiar name to me.
yes. Okay, understood. Moving on.
He's a good midfielder from a level that works pretty well in the CPL. Gerard Levan sounds like a very fascinating player, and maybe the most interesting of the bunch here. He's played 9 games for the Dominican national team, senior national team, that is. Looks like he's been really good at that level. He could be a pretty important player. I feel like it's a little bit of a quick move to come in here. I think, unless I'm wrong, I think he's coming from the club that had 2 of York's players on loan down in the Dominican.
That recently switched to Costa Rica.
Hernandez and Cabrera, right?
Yeah, and you've kind of hit the nail on the head though with like coming to Canada and coming into a team this quickly, because this is something that Cabrera and Hernandez are now gone to a Costa Rican side. At like, again, another interesting point of the season where it's like, yeah, I guess the question is, when you're coming in this late, what kind of impact can you make, really? I mean, it's really just comes down to the players, I suppose. The striker, Osvaldo Ramirez, also seems like an interesting pickup. Who do you think is going to make the biggest impact out of this group?
I think maybe the potential is there for Laverne to make the biggest impact. I just remembered as well, he just played his most recent football for Tucson in USL League One. That's what I was missing. Right. But yeah, I think that's maybe where the most potential is. But I think if you're to make a prediction, it would probably be Tariq Muhammad, just because he has played at the CPL level before. He's played, obviously, TFC2 for a really long time. He's been over at Dundalk in Ireland, and he's still on loan there, there, I should say. And at the left-back position, I mean, York obviously has some depth at the fullback position, but maybe less so than they do in midfield. So that might be a better place for him to get into the side and get minutes and make more of an impact. So I think if you were going to make the safe pick for which of these guys is going to have the biggest impact, it would probably be Muhammad.
And yeah, quite good for FC Edmonton at the Island Games. Quite good. Mm-hmm. Okay, Canadian men's national team, 2 important qualifiers, World Cup qualifiers, and then hopefully, fingers crossed, another 2 following that in the next, I don't know, like 12, 13 days. There's going to be a lot of Canada games coming up for both the men's and the women's sides. We haven't had a chance to talk about the squad that got picked for Aruba, Suriname, and then potentially the second round 2-legged tie. Maybe just quick highlights on this. Like, I know Atiba couldn't make it due to injury. Daniel Henry was maybe not a surprise, but a welcome addition to this team. Like, what did you make of the squad that Herman picked here last week?
Yeah, there's not a ton of surprises. I think there's maybe a few more players missing to injury and so forth than I might have expected. I think Kamal Miller is missing out on injury. I'm a little surprised that Derek Cornelius isn't in the squad. I actually still haven't yet been able to figure out exactly why. But yeah, Daniil Henry's back. I think that's going to be really important, and I think he's going to want to take this opportunity to maybe establish himself or remind us of where he actually should be in terms of center backs on his team. For the most part, though, I think the starting 11, maybe 13, starting 13, and you pick 11 from that for the Suriname game is probably pretty set in stone. But it'll be interesting looking at maybe the Aruba game to see if maybe a few of these players, I mean, I think Dejon Buchanan and Scott Kennedy coming in for their first camps, maybe they get their first looks. But I think for the most part, it's not a particularly experimental or different men's national team squad to what we saw in March or what we might have expected.
Well, the tricky part, so Aruba's coming up on Saturday night on One Soccer, and then the Suriname game, which will obviously be the big one, considering, you know, how much we've talked about their squad, will come on Tuesday. But it is kind of interesting how you play Aruba, you know, who's ranked, I think, 206th. It's the biggest gap in rankings anyways in this group, and then you have to go in and play those more important games. So I think squad rotation would definitely be expected on Saturday, which leads us into our final segment of the day, men's national team predictions. Charlie, we're gonna burn you here. We're gonna bring this up next week. Okay, so you mentioned Buchanan and Scott Kennedy. So this is their first full senior camps proper. Will they both earn starts?
Both of them.
Scott Kennedy, think center
I'm going
back.
To say
Tejon Buchanan,
no
wide
to both of them. I'm going to say no to both of them. I think Kennedy could start in the Aruba game, but I don't think Buchanan will. Because I think if you're starting different wingers, trying to mix it up a little bit, I think Corbiano is first off the list there. I think Theo Corbiano gets a start against Aruba, and then I think maybe you probably still throw in a Liam Miller or even a Junior Hoylett into that spot. So I think Buchanan does play in that game off the bench, but I don't think he gets a start just yet.
Okay. Over under 7 goals against Aruba for Canada. Cayman Islands was 11, and that was a record for the program.
I'm going to say under.
Really?
I am going to say under. I think it's obviously not going to be as... I don't think it's going to be as strong a starting 11 as Canada put out against the Caymans. And I think once they're well in front, maybe 4-5 goals or so, they maybe ease off the gas a little bit. Just anybody who might have any opportunity of playing in one of the next few games, I mean, get them off the pitch. I think, obviously, no. I mean, I'm not trying to disrespect Aruba, but you really have to look ahead to that Suriname game. And I really think that hopefully by halftime of this Aruba game, they will be fully looking ahead to that next game, but already up by like 4 goals or so.
Yeah, it is just, again, like, yeah, the Suriname and then the two second round games coming up, and those will all come very quickly. And those are all obviously incredibly important. Yeah, just something to keep in mind here for Canada going into that one. But after the Suriname game, do you think, this is another prediction, do you think that we'll go back and sort of say there's maybe too much hype about this team, or will we say it was maybe justified? Too much hype or justified?
I think immediately after the game. Oh, I don't like doing this. I really don't like this. But I think after the game, we are going to think that it was a little overhyped. Because I'm being confident, I'm being optimistic, and I believe in this Canada squad. And I think they're going to handle them reasonably well. I think maybe the thing about Suriname is they will be a genuine, terrifying threat 2 years from now.
Right.
Or even in the next World Cup qualifying cycle. I don't know if they're going to be there yet because these guys just haven't played together at all. Some of their best players will be making their debuts in this camp. I think we're not overhyping the program and the potential of this team, but we might be overhyping their ability to truly challenge Canada the way that things are at the moment. Of course, I really hope I'm not, you know, messing with any bad luck Canadian or anything
soccer.
Like that.
Yeah. Canadian soccer.
It is Canadian
vibes.
Soccer, and Lord knows it's Lord knows Canada hasn't always done things that they've been supposed to do, but
that's why I love it.
I think I have no choice but to be positive here. I think we're in a new era of this national team. I think they're going to be okay.
And then a score line against Suriname.
3-1.
That's what I was thinking too.
3-1 for Canada.
Yeah. That seems reasonable, right? Yeah. I feel good.
It was funny.
Good. I was checking out some Suriname vlogs about this Canada team. Don't ask me why I was doing that last night. And the host thought Canada was going to be a lot worse. He came away from like looking at the squad being like, actually, you know what? This squad's pretty good. So, everyone has their point of view, I guess, for national teams. So I was like, all right, yeah, fair enough. I guess I think Canada's better than Suriname, but I guess you think Suriname's better than Canada. So all entitled to our opinions. All right, so that's it for us this week. A short episode, and again, fingers crossed. Hopefully, we'll have something on the 2021 Canadian Premier League season coming up. Again, hopefully next week. You know, it's coming right up to it. You know, we know people are itching to go, and we are as well. So we just want games to talk about. We want games to talk about. Okay, that being said, see you next week.